to you first, you might think, what on earth is he going on about? You may still think at the end of it, what on earth is he going on about, but that's life. We have had a remarkable journey in the last year. A remarkable journey because I have had to learn an awful lot about expectations. An awful lot about other people's expectations of me, not as Mark, but as Bishop. And therefore I have great sympathy with that poor gentleman who turned up for the wedding feast without the proper clothes. I have incredible sympathy, in fact. If we'd had that reading last month in Ullapool, it would have been me cast into outer darkness as I left all my robes on the kitchen table somewhere else completely. And I think I wore Christopher's owl, which came to about my knees. There's a sense in which I have had to learn very rapidly that it may have been Mark that they elected as bishop, but what they now want most of the time is Bishop Mark. And there is a difference, however hard I try for there not to be. And in a way it does link in with some of the ideas in these readings today. The Isaiah reading, I quite handle that, sitting on the mountainside with wonderfully matured wine, excellent food, good company. That is part of what being Bishop of Moray Ross and Caithness is like. Good wine, good food, which is not doing me any good at all, and very good company. And that sense in which the enjoyment of sharing time with people, of being expected in that most loving way to be part of other people's lives and communities. But it gets a bit harder when you get to Matthew's interpretation of the wedding feast. You see, in fact, we all really, if we're honest, prefer the version you'll find in Luke's Gospel, which is a version which is about the people not being called, have been called for the marriage feast, and making all sorts of excuses, exactly the same as we have here in Matthew. But Matthew throws in that bit about them killing the messengers, about them killing the person who's come to invite them to the feast, and think, ooh, that's not quite so nice, is it? And then it goes on, and the whole thing becomes incredibly judgmental. Now, I don't wish to make any decision as to whether Luke was trying to make us all feel a bit happier about things, or whether Matthew had woken up that morning with a headache when he was writing his bit down. We could interpret this gospel passage and its links with the other gospel passages right through until Evensong this evening, if we had Evensong this evening. And we could do that quite happily. Well, I'm not here to go through a Bible study. Suffice it to say that in Matthew's writing of that story, there is a great sense of judgment. And I think for me, that sense of judgment is a judgment we so easily place upon ourselves. As those of you who have known us for this number of years, I would normally be sitting somewhere in the church in a pair of walking trousers, having scraped the sheet muck off my boots somewhere at the door, having my hair is probably as messy as it always has been, having somehow just arrived. And that is who I am. That's who I've always been. The one who someone, when I was a choir boy, had to tidy up before worship. Someone who, when I was a server, they had to tidy up before worship. And now as a bishop, someone had to tidy up before worship. And part of me has this notion that somehow, when I'm invited, I simply turn up as me. And as I said already, turn up looking like a Christmas tree and a quiet, ordinary service Sunday by Sunday, then again I've done the same thing. Because people are saying, why is he turned up looking like that? He's here among friends. He's here among people who know him. And so I have to judge that. And that, I think, is a judgment we all have to make. And it's part of being the fellowship that we heard of in Philippians. It's recognizing that there are times and places when there is an expectation that we don't put on what we want to put on. We don't say what we want to say. We don't behave in the way that we wish to behave. We recognize that we're also there for other people. And if we get it wrong, then we are cast into outer darkness. How many of you, in all honesty, can think of no occasion when you turned up at some event and you have got it wrong? The classic, of course, is the fancy dress party that isn't a fancy dress party, where you turned up in a splendid costume, don't I know it, and everyone else is not in a splendid costume. But how many of you turned up for a meal thinking it's a very casual meal? I mean, I hate that phrase. I've been caught out with that all year. Come casually. Now you see, for me, casually is baggy shorts and a t-shirt. For other people, casually is an ordinary lounge suit and tie. What does it mean? So we've all been in a situation where we, I suspect, have allowed the circumstances around us, the fact that we might have got it wrong, the fact we've not listened to what other people have said, or worse, the fact that we said, I'm going to go the way I want to go. And you feel, by the time you get to the second drink, or the starter, or whatever kind of event it is, you're already in outer darkness. Because your embarrassment, if you're a good Scots person, will have already sent you into embarrassment. Because we get embarrassed at things like that. No different from in this passage. It's the fact that we are expected to prepare. I am expected to think about it before I turn up, to make sure that I am getting it right, to make sure that this relates to other people, to make sure that what is going on is not simply for my benefit, but for the benefit of others. And that's the same for all of you. It's no different whether you're bishop, server, he's still there awake, yes, server, and anyone else. We have a solace will be.